Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Joining us now here at Fenway Park is Red Sox manager Alex Cora. Alex Cora is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. First, in person, WEEI Afternoons interview of the year. You have a smile on your face, which I love. We've dealt with other coaches that you lose two in a row, and the coach might not be smiling at you.
And we play 162, so.
That's right.
There we go.
So I'm not one to make excuses, but I'm going to make some excuses right off the bat. How hard was it to play the sport of baseball last night? Because it looked like it was hard to pitch, for your team anyway, hard to field, hard to hit. What were those conditions like?
Yeah, they were very tough. I was out there doing batting practice, and it felt cold. And actually, I made two visits to the mound, and it was a lot different from the dugout. It was very windy, and it was tough. Tough to move, tough to throw. But we played the game. It sucked that we lost, but we got to be ready for tonight.
So Garrett said after the game, so that's three starts on the season, 1-1, hasn't had a bad outing per se yet, but he said after the game that he doesn't feel like he's had his good stuff yet. So what do you think it's going to take for him to really get going and get to that next level that you've seen and we all know that he can get?
I think it takes time, to be honest with you. I coached a lefty in 2018 that we all know, right? Mm-hmm. And Chris, it will take him probably around May 5th. I always joke around, Cinco de Mayo, he'll take off. I think his stuff is really good. We're getting to know him. Probably not the swing and miss stuff that we're used to it, but he faced two out of the three teams they put the ball in play, the Rangers and the Jays. They don't strike out. There were some at-bats yesterday, Vladdy, for example, a lot of foul balls, and that's part of it. But at the end of the day, if you look at the line, it was six innings, one and run, give us a chance to win. We didn't play we didn't play good defense behind him towards the end. But so far, so good, man. The guy's a true ace.
Alex, I used to play for an old ball coach that would say the first four games of the regular season were kind of like an extension of the preseason, Bill Belichick. And,
yep.
You're 12 games in. Is there a similar kind of feeling out thing for you? Like, are you still trying to see what you got here, what's working, still trying to figure out maybe totally what you got with your roster here?
Yeah, I think the personnel is so much different than last year, and we're trying to accomplish a few things with certain guys. We won Abreu and Casas to face lefties, but we have faced only two lefties out of 12 games, so you have to play Romy and Ref. That's how it works. Letting guys hit against left-handed relievers, we've done it with Abreu and Casas. We let Ref and Romy hit against righties yesterday just to see what kind of matchups we can create late in games. The bullpen is always kind of like, you know, a work in progress. You guys know we use Witt as a multi-inning weapon. Well, who's going to step up the days he's not in the bullpen, right? And it takes time, but I truly believe that this is a good baseball team, very athletic. Defensively, I know we have struggled here at home, but we are a lot better than that. You know, Jaren Duran is a Gold Glover. Abreu, of course, is awesome. Rafaela, you saw that play he made. Mm-hmm. Alex, yeah, he made an error, but if you look at his numbers, he's his range is off the charts. So we will play defense, but it takes time. It takes time, and you want to win games. But as a manager, I'm learning about the group, and hopefully, you know, sooner rather than later, we get going and we start, you know, winning games more often.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora joining us on WEEI Afternoons. And one of those inconsistencies has obviously been the lineup. There's days where it's like you look like the lineup that we think it's going to be. There's other days where 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. The one thing I've looked at, and I wonder what your opinion is, strikeouts. There's been some games with high 11, 13 strikeouts. Does that concern you? Or are you worried about how many times this team strikes out? How do you look at that?
I hate strikeouts, but sometimes it's part of your DNA, right? Obviously, when Jaren strikes out three times and Rafi strikes out three times, it's going to be a big strikeout day for the opposition. But what I look at is, are we swinging the strikes, right? And we are. I think we're like top three in the league, swinging the pitches in the heart of the zone, which is very important. Are we swinging and missing the strike zone too much? Yes, we are. But I truly believe with time, that's something we're going to get better at. The guys are making adjustments little by little. And this team is going to hit. We all know that. We got a lot of options and guys that I think they have made progress. Abreu, for example, driving the ball the other way. Casas is doing the same thing. And when all clicks, it's fun to watch. We saw it against the Cardinals. We haven't seen it against the Jays.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of souvenir balls and a half dozen dents in the wall out there that'll say that you guys know how to hit, and it's going to happen as well. But on the pitching side as well, so far Walker hasn't really gotten going yet, and obviously he displayed that he still can find that form at the end of last season against the Yankees, which we have, as Red Sox fans, loved. And as far as Tanner goes, too, he hasn't really quite gotten going yet, and he's had a hard time against lefties as well. So what do you think it's going to take, respectively, for those guys to find their gear?
I think we walk is strike one. That's very important, and that's with everybody. Even with Garrett yesterday. Yeah. He was erratic with the first pitch. When you're not ahead in the count, you're not going to punch tickets, you know, yeah. Right? They're going to put good at-bats. With Tanner, kind of like create space for him. He got the slider, the split, the sinker. Can we use the four-seamer in certain at-bats to create space for him, create room for swing and misses or miss hits. And that's something we're working on. He did a good job last year, as we know, and we expect the same thing.
Alex, just Christian Campbell playing different positions, center field, second base, just you, that's something that you are, you know, that you want to continue to do. Just so how would you kind of just grade him so far defensively in those positions?
Yeah, I think the outfield part of it is just the athlete running around. We were talking about putting him in left field. Whoever came up with that idea, come on, Alex, don't think that. You know, don't overthink it. Center field is a lot easier. And our left fielder, he's one of the best, especially here in Fenway. Mm-hmm. Second base, the double plays, he's been amazing. And this is something that he picked up in spring training. He struggled early on, and now he's turning the double play real well. There's going to be plays that, you know, the speed of the game at this level – it's a lot different than in the minor leagues, and he's going to be caught by surprise, or he's going to be trying to do more than he needs to. We saw it yesterday, right? He got that ball to the left. He has no chance to get the runner at first. He throws it away. They score. So our job is to walk him through plays, help him out. He learns quick. He does. And I think so far he's been solid. Offensively, he's really good. He's really good. He hits the ball hard. He controls the strike zone. Late decisions, too, kind of like – he goes, and stop. And he gets on base. And a good player. Glad that we signed him for a long period of time, and excited for the future.
So I was listening to our guy Will Fleming talk to you pregame show yesterday, asked you about the clubhouse, not the room, but the documentary.
That show.
Yes, that show. That's all the rage people are loving so far. And you said you're not watching it.
Till November.
Is that true, and why?
True. It's just, honestly, it feels awkward, kind of like, oh, this is Alex's episode. Let's watch it. I'm like, I know what I said.
You got to watch out. The guy that's the manager in this show, man. What?
Yeah. So, and honestly, it's not. I'd rather watch it after the season. I don't want to get caught up in the whole thing. We can sound cliche. Let's stay on the present, you know.
Yep.
But no, it's just something about feeling uncomfortable watching it that I'm not. I don't want to do it now. I'll do it back home with the family. They'll watch it before, but yeah, that was a promise I made to myself, and I'm gonna keep it.
So I gotta tell you, I'm about a quarter of the way into it so far, and the one adjective that I would choose to describe it is human. It humanizes yourself, especially some of the other players as well. Obviously, we'll get into the Durant thing in a second, but just seeing the struggles everybody goes through. I made the mistake also of watching it with my 12 and 7 year old, and I was like, all right, that's the fifth F word. You know, it's very raw and real, but yeah. Like you see just how much they overthink all the work that they put into it, how much they prepare, how much they let the game weigh on them as well. So getting a chance to see that intimate portrayal, how difficult is it or how fulfilling is it for you to try to manage the emotional, personal side of these characters like Durant and especially Casas, who is just fascinating when you watch the show?
He is fascinating.
Is that the word you'd use?
Fascinating. Yes,
fascinating. Yeah, he is.
Unique.
Unique. Yeah, he is. Something I take pride on. The one thing about this job, and I love every single day of it, if you're in last place or first place, I love putting this uniform on and come here to Fenway and work. Relationships matter. And at the end of the day, I love the fact that in 2018, I managed David Price, a guy that he was unique, right?
Yep.
People didn't like, quote unquote, and he will text me during the season, AC, how you doing? You know, that matters, you know? Yep. Porcello, Nate is pitching for the Rangers and he's still watching the Red Sox, you know? I think Mookie Betts made a comment a month ago. He's like, I watch every game, you know? I watch the Red Sox, I love AC, you know? That matters, you know? And you know, I stay in touch with those guys, and that's what I take out of all this thing. You know, like your window is 3.5 years, 4 years, you know, for these players now.
Yeah.
It's not 8, 10 years like we used to have it. And for them to connect with me, I connect with them and really care about each other. That weights more than, you know, wins or losses at the end. Mm-hmm. Obviously, from April to October, W's count. You know, we know that. But at the end, you know, the off season, connected with them, knowing them, and obviously in Jaren's situation, just caring about him, it matters.
I'd love to just touch on that. I thought it was incredible. He came out and said what he said. You don't hear a lot of guys say that. It takes a lot of courage. Just, you know, has that been received in the clubhouse? And do you think maybe him just – saying that, getting it off his chest, is maybe unlocked something with him?
It unlocked something on him a few years ago, and this one is a bigger one, right? And like I said yesterday, he's saving lives. That's the most important thing, right? He's saving lives. And in the clubhouse, we all know who he is, how much he cares about our club. He's a leader, you know, he's the one. You know, I always said, come here early, don't miss it, because he might hit a single to left field and extend it to a double. He might hit a homer. He might strike out and snap, you know, like you never know. But we're very proud of him. We're very happy for him, happy for his family. They're helping, and I'm very proud.
Not to bring this just back to baseball, but any update on Bayo and Giolito? Are they on the horizon?
Gio, he was supposed to start yesterday. He got snowed out, I guess, you know. No snow in Boston, we're in Worcester. Hard to believe.
Right.
He's pitching tonight. Bayo, his next one is on Friday. Liam Hendricks is going on a rehab assignment this weekend, so we're getting healthy.
So you got some troops on the way. We do need to let you know before you go, you do know you are undefeated after talking to us. 2-0.
That's what I'm talking about.
So right. Looks like
no problem. Tonight. We win today. I'm not coming tomorrow.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it. WEEI Afternoons up next. We will react to some of the comments from Red Sox manager Alex Cora.
Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We got a Friday 4-pack coming your way. About a half an hour from now at 11:30, as we do every Friday. We have the Week in Review at 12:45. And we'll also be dusting off a top 5 Friday.
Woo,
boy.
The top five non-major sporting events, meaning not Major League Baseball.
That's right.
Not the NFL. Nope. Not the NBA or the NHL.
That's right.
We'll do that at 11:45, so stay tuned for all of it on a jam-packed Jones and Keefe. We've been watching all week long. It's part of why I didn't watch the Bruins there, Mark and Medford.
Yeah, sorry.
All week long with a Red Sox day game yesterday, I jammed in a bunch of episodes of The Clubhouse on Netflix, covered the Red Sox, as I'm sure most of you are familiar with, for the 2024 season a year ago. They call it unprecedented access, unlimited access.
Well,
I mean, it's limited. It's limited at various points in time.
Oh, at one point, it's extremely limited. Breslow's, they even show you on the camera.
Well, Bradford told us that, actually, yesterday. I hadn't seen that episode
yet, but either.
Breslow kicked the cameras out, I think, because he was trading for Danny Jansen or something like that. It's like, chill out, dude.
Right.
You weren't trading for...
So, like, the Blue Jays must have called. He's like, I have to take this. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
And they're like, can we not be here? He's like, No.
No, we're getting a backup catcher.
We have all these minor leaguers no one's heard of that we're sending the other way. You can't be in here for that.
So we're getting ahead of ourselves, though. Have you seen all eight episodes?
I have not.
They dropped on Tuesday. Yeah. We wanted to give people some time to watch this.
We've been efforting.
We didn't want to come out on Monday and, you know, spoil things. And we'll do our best not to spoil anything massive, although I don't know how much massive there is to spoil.
If people wanted to see it, they saw it. I think the most significant thing has already been out, too. That came out even before the series came out. People were talking about it.
So you've had time to watch. You've had time to binge. I'm six episodes in. You're on to the final episode,
I am, about halfway through episode 8, which is the last episode.
Nick and Billy, you guys are watching too, right? Like, how far into this are you?
Two episodes.
How far are you?
Six and a half.
Okay. So we're in a similar vicinity here.
I've been watching so much Yellow Jackets this week. It's been hard.
And the comment you referenced, which has picked up a lot of notoriety.
Yeah.
I know other shows have played it here. We held off on it because we knew we were going to talk about this on Friday. But there's been statements about it from Jaron Duran, from his parents, from Sam Kennedy, from Alex Cora. Was Duran contemplating suicide at one point earlier in his career after the struggles in 2022 where he was adjusting to the outfield? He was hearing it from the fans. He was giving it back to the fans, which they highlight quite a bit in this piece. I think it was episode 4 of The Clubhouse.
Yeah, you're right.
And so that's picked up a lot of notoriety. And obviously that's horrifying. And it's... It tells you a lot about Duran being able to open up about it and talk about that. So that was a fascinating watch. And Duran has been, I mean, the breakout star of this, I would say, either him or Alex Cora.
Yeah, I think there's probably been more Duran. I think Duran might be the MVP. And in episode 7, they also get into probably the lowest part of Duran's season last year, where obviously his back and forth with the fans and that scary story that he was telling about thinking about suicide was from 2022, but last year, his all-star season, his all-star game MVP, which is also highlighted in there.
Yeah, that was episode 5,
I think he had the yelled at the fan, the homophobic slur, so that is also covered in this. They could have changed the name of the documentary to The Clubhouse, A Year with Jaron Duran.
Yeah.
He's in it a ton. His parents are in it more than most Red Sox are in it. But, yeah, I agree with what Cora said earlier this week. I mean, Jaron Duran saving lives. Like, Jaron Duran is helping a ton of people with this story. For people that are struggling and they see that Jaron Duran feels this way, you have a Major League Baseball player feels this way and has gotten pushed to the brink like that. And, you know, hopefully it pushes people to seeking help. And so if Duran does that, even for one person, and you know it's more than one person, but if he's doing that, like that, that is a big success.
Well, and, you know, it is just interesting, too, to see a guy who was a top prospect in baseball and a guy who's eventually an all-star and an all-star game MVP. You know, it just tells you even well-known celebrities, popular people, athletes.
It's everybody.
Can deal with this. And so it's a good reminder. And you give Jaron Duran a lot of credit for, again, opening up on that and helping people. But I think he's independent of that. I think he's sympathetic.
Yep.
Likeable. Like, I think Duran comes across very, very well in this.
Oh, he's the opposite of cocky because he doubts himself
constantly.
Too much.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're great. You're a great player. And he puts so much pressure on himself. You can kind of see where he gets it from. They kind of get into like how hard his dad pushed him growing up. And he was always a little guy too. So he still has that mentality. Like, he said he going into high school, he was like 5'4", like 100 pounds or something insane.
Yeah.
And now he's, you know, pound for pound, one of the strongest guys they have going. So
yeah, they show him lifting weights, and you're like, yeah, look at that. Look at that guy.
And that ridiculous suit that he had on during the All-Star break.
I forgot about that suit.
Yeah,
that suit
was a wild suit.
Something nice. They had a meeting with the tailor. Now, I don't know if it's too late to make Durant Haas of the Week for how some of the weightlifting scenes
no,
in there.
Yeah, no, I'm not putting him Haas of the Week.
You're not going to do it?
But great. He was the MVP of this thing. I think there was a good amount of good stuff in it. I do think there was a ton of boring stuff in it, too.
Okay.
Like I don't think it was the best documentary. Now, part of it is not even necessarily the documentary makers. It's also, you picked a team that went 81-81.
Such a schmeh.
It's such a schmeh team.
And predictably schmeh team.
Yeah.
I thought they'd be better than they were a year ago after their hot start, honestly. Like, no. I thought when they started 7-3, I thought they'd be better. But most people thought they'd be exactly what they were.
We made the passing jokes as the season went on. I remember being like, all right, it's Netflix is there. Like, what is Netflix even doing? Like, right. what is this season even going to be? You get to the trade deadline. They actually do make moves, but they keep everybody on their group. They keep all their top prospects. They add a few guys. The relievers end up being terrible. Danny Jansen's fine, and James Paxton gets hurt. And that was the big move. And they were in it at the deadline like they have been for the last 3 years, and then they just faded out, and they were gone. They also, as Bradford said, they're not there for that whole Colorado series, the whole Reese McGuire, Cal Quantrill thing. They're not there for the Alex Cora extension, and John Henry's not in it. So you're like, all right, is this a year with the Red Sox, or is this a year with some of the Red Sox, also some of the Woo Sox, some of the Sea Dogs, the guy who makes mud for baseball.
Let me tell you, that was a weird tangent. The Sea
what the hell was that?
The Sea Dogs episode? What episode was that? I thought that was actually a pretty entertaining episode.
It was hilarious, actually.
Meyer Anthony Teal.
Great.
Whoever the manager is, I already forgot his name.
Lunatic.
Chip Chipperson?
I love him.
What's his name?
Get him in.
The guy, the manager there of the Sea Dogs?
I don't know. Let's book him on the show.
Cursing people out.
Screaming.
An umpire, spoiler alert, takes a foul ball
to the
B-hole. Can you say that?
Sure.
Yeah. And that was a direct quote from the umpire to Kyle Teal, who doesn't give two craps about it. He's like, oh, man, that sucks. He fires the ball back
doesn't
to the pitcher.
But so the great setup
some
for
of that was good.
It's really funny because the setup is they're like, well, you know, at this level, it's really all about, you know, whatever they send us from the major league level. And like, they just kind of like, we're all just trying to like improve or whatever. And then there's like a outside pitch called a strike. This lunatic manager comes screaming out. He's like, you MF for this. And then he gets thrown out of a game at AA. And yeah, he's still screaming on his way out.
I think he knew the cameras were there, whatever. I think good job.
His money's worth.
Good job by him. He was entertaining.
And then one of my favorite parts, too, was going back to the dynamic. Because at this point, it was the big three, and it did not involve Campbell.
No one even mentions Campbell.
Not anywhere.
None of the beat writers, nope. No one in the organization. Christian Campbell's name is not mentioned in this thing. Kyle Teal is mentioned a ton.
A lot, and he's in it a lot. So it's Meyer, Anthony, and Teal, and they're asking, you know, this is obviously somewhat forced, but these guys seem to have good personalities, so they made it work. I'm sure Netflix was like, hey, start saying something stupid here. We want to film it. So they were like, all right, if you could have the
Marcella
answer.
Meyer, tell your ghost story.
Seriously,
yeah, that would be great.
We got a great stuff from Meyer.
Netflix couldn't even get that out of him.
They're like, what question would you want the answer to? And you know me, I'm like, what happens after you die? That's
right,
the first thing I'm thinking of.
Right. Aliens. Does God exist?
Yeah.
Things like this.
And they're like, Teal's like, he's like, I don't want any of those serious questions. I just want to know what pitch is coming. And I said, hey, I got good news for you.
No, that was Anthony.
Oh, Anthony.
Roman Anthony's like,
I just want to know what pitch is coming.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you get up to that big club, you got a guy you can ask.
You've come to the right organization.
Where do you want to put the buzzer? Where do you want to put the little buzzer on you? You can get that.
Ask Bregman. I'm going to miss Kyle Teal. I got to be honest. I didn't know I was going to miss him, but Teal was pretty entertaining. So I think the most captivating thing that I have seen, and the Durant stuff rightfully so got a lot of headlines.
Sure.
What I think is most captivating for the team and Breslow and what it means for him going forward is some of the behind the scenes at the trade deadline. And they're not trading for anyone significant, right? They get two bum-ass relievers that I don't even think they mentioned by name. I don't think
they said in later episodes, do they?
Well,
he comes into the game maybe in episode 7. Was it Luis Garcia?
At least on the trade deadline
just
episode.
Pours gasoline on himself on the mound. That was awful.
On the trade deadline episode, which was episode 6, and there are 8 of these things, they're all an hour-ish.
Yeah.
So it's a commitment, and sometimes it does drag. I wouldn't tell you it doesn't. But they don't even say the relievers' names. They do mention Danny Jansen, and they mention Paxton by name in that episode. And they're kind of going over all this stuff, and they have this guy in the room, in the analytics room, with, you know, Breslow and all of his cronies there kind of talking things out. And they're like, well, plug this in. And he developed an app that automatically on a sliding scale gives you the playoff percentages. So if we trade this guy, we go down by 9%. And if we add that guy, we go up by 10%.
It's almost like the NBA trade machine on ESPN when you do that and it adds wins or subtracts losses.
But do you remember how much of a discussion point this was with Chaim Bloom a couple of years ago, which is different than Breslow.
Uh-huh.
But Bloom's like, oh, well, you know, it's not all about playoff percentage. No. Listen to these guys in this episode.
Yeah.
That's the stat they bring up. They don't bring up runs, batting average, RBIs, anything. The stat they reference when they first plug in all of the metrics
playoff
from the trade.
Percentages.
How does it impact our playoff percentage? That's they created a whole app to account for that. And so I thought that was interesting and head shaking. I also thought it was interesting to see Breslow. They asked him, they're like, do you even like this job?
He's like, I can't even think about it.
I'm overwhelmed. He's like, I don't even have time in my day to think about that. I don't even have, there's not enough time in my day to do my job. How can I possibly process that? I'm like, you can't answer if you like your job?
Yeah, he doesn't come across
that. That means you don't like your job. No, if you can't say I like my job and force yourself to say it, that means you hate it.
My guess is because he goes home and his wife is like, I hate that you have this job. That's my take. Did you see his wife on there?
I saw.
So his wife and his kids are in it a little bit. They're like a Little League game. And his wife's talking to him, and she's like, well, at least I know you're not going to get traded this year, because she's been with him since, I think it's they got married in 2013, the year they actually won the World Series.
Right
after the World Series, right?
Married like 10 days after the World Series in 2013.
But it's hilarious. So she's like, you can tell she's annoyed. She's like, it's a lot of missed, what'd she say? She's like, it's missed birthdays, funerals.
Right. And she's like,
this guy's missing funerals?
Somewhere in there, it's like,
he's missing all kinds of
things. He missed her grandmother's funeral or something, and that is a constant discussion point in their marriage.
Probably brought up once a week.
Do you remember how you missed my grandmother's funeral?
So then she's like,
oh, God, here we go again.
Then he called and said, like, he's not going to be home this week or whatever. And like, I'm like, where is this going? And I was like, so Craig stayed up all night for a week straight.
Burning the midnight oil.
For Danny Jansen and James Paxton? Go home to your wife. If you're not going to make a real trade, go home to your wife.
He's like, guys, we need to find a reliever, and I don't even know who this is going to be. He's scouring the internet, and he came up with Luis Garcia.
He's like,
took him 3 days.
Right. He's like, we need a right-handed bat, a starting pitcher, and a righty reliever. And they're like, guys, we got all those things. And even the people in the room are like, we're counting Danny Jansen as the righty bat? He's like, we already have two catchers, but we're adding a third catcher because he's got a swing made for Fenway. I'm like, oh, my God.
I thought, if you think Breslow's a robot and a dweeb, he comes across so robotic and so dweeby in, I think, episode 6 that it's not even funny.
So I
think that was an interesting peek behind the curtain.
Most people come across good, I would say. I think Breslow, less so. Casas is kind of mixed.
Yeah.
I think it depends on how you want to view it.
By the way, you guys
he's in it more because he comes back in episode 7 or 8. Remember, he came back for a few games after the rib injury. So you were mad about him not giving an autograph,
Which
he
gives
like a ton of autographs in this one.
But I was going to bring this up. He stares a kid down. He's like, no, I'm not giving you an autograph.
Yeah. Just struck out to end the game or whatever.
You guys were very fine about.
One, he like signs cleats.
Duran at one point.
Duran signs a ton of autographs.
Well, Duran does, but he tells a kid no at one point too. And so I'm like, okay, well, that's not great.
You can't sign them all.
Okay, but he's like, no, I can't. I'm sorry. Like, I mean, at least he didn't just stare the kid down and go, no. And so I don't think Casas comes across great. I'm with you on that. Although there are moments where I'm like, he's a little more, maybe he is kind of in on the joke where I can see it. Like he talks about how he paints his nails just to piss people off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, maybe you're in on the joke. So he's a little more of a gray area. What do you think about Bayo? How does he come across?
The thing I liked about him the most was him freaking out about Connor Wong. I'm starting to wonder if Connor Wong is at a call a game.
Nick, you agree with this, right?
Yeah, well, when he called two seamers every single time and Bayo loses his mind, first change of pitch.
First pitch every time for every batter was a two seamer, and he was like losing his mind about it. I think some of the Bayo stuff, like that dinner we talked about, they kept it too long. Like it was kind of a funny joke, like, hey, we're going to make him think that he's paying for the whole bill. But that was like a 15 minute part. Like that dragged.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff was pretty boring, I feel like, when it came to Bayo. But the in-game stuff was somewhat interesting. And him talking to Andrew Bailey. Oh, Andrew Bailey, I think,
Bailey's another one that comes across well.
Yeah.
Duran.
Cora.
Bailey. They all come across pretty well.
Yep.
The Bayo stuff in-game, I think, is captivating. I don't know that he comes across well.
No.
But it's captivating. Because in the middle of his starts, he's kind of a wild man.
He is. He's kind of pissed. And there's been a lot of Red Sox pitchers that have been kind of like that.
But he's the only one they really show, right?
Yeah. No, they don't. Hauk a little bit because they highlight the All Star game.
Well, Hauk
serves
seems
up
like
ding dong.
He barely has a pulse. The only real entertaining thing Hauk says
is he comes out in the All-Star game, like you just said. Yeah. He's like, I thought I got Shohei to pop up.
Yeah.
He's like, he knocked the thing out of the yard.
I thought it'd been a pretty good pitch.
No, I mean,
that guy's pretty good.
Houck seems like he barely has a pulse.
No, yeah. No, Bayo is very fiery in the middle of his starts. It's kind of interesting to watch, but I don't know that he comes across well.
Another kind of theme that they have, and it's pretty heavy-handed, is these guys are real people, too, and they all have problems. It's like nobody else has problems, but baseball players have problems. So, like, don't give them any slack because they got family issues or they got this kind of issue or whatever. It's like, right. They're also professional baseball players getting paid millions of dollars for the most part.
And you're trying to humanize them, which I get.
Which
is
fine.
And the Jaren Duran stuff is next level from that. But you're saying it's with all these players, and heavy-handed is the right word for it. They're laying it on. They're really reminding you that.
But also, not all criticism's the same. They kind of lump it together because on the one, like, Bayo's talking about, oh, like, I'll get, like, death threats, like, on, like, Instagram or whatever. That's insane.
Obviously,
that's insane.
That's not cool.
But if you're yelling at a guy to be like, what Duran got all mad at the guy behind home plate because he was like, what do you need, a tennis racket?
Yeah.
That's not in the same realm of, like, criticism.
No. Or
like
Cora.
Just booing a guy is whatever. Or, yeah.
Fan calls Cora a cheater at one point.
Where's your trash can?
Yeah, and Cora's not happy about it.
But it's like, oh, you should die? Like, that's a completely different thing.
Those are, one's obviously wrong and shouldn't happen. The other should be in play. Cora, you cheated. If fans chirp you and call you a cheater, that's fine. If you give up a home run and fans boo you, that's fine. Those aren't even close to the same thing.
The other thing I think they kind of screwed up with is, could they have put this out the week before the season started?
Thank you. What?
Because this was tough because I'm like, I want to watch the current team.
Right.
I do want to watch this, but I'm also probably watching it a lot because of the job. I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know if I really recommend it to everybody. Like, diehard Red Sox fans, sure, if you have the time. But other than that, like, I don't know. I wouldn't move it to the top of your queue necessarily.
No. Like, we said this earlier in the week on maybe Would You Rather Wednesday. If we were going to rank out, like, Celtic City, I would recommend you watch.
Yes.
And I was skeptical about it when it first started. I was skeptical when the whole project launched.
Very good.
Celtic City, I would recommend. You know, I liked The Comeback on Netflix. It's well-worn material, but I thought there was enough new stuff in there where I liked that.
About half as long, though, too, right?
Yeah, it's three episodes, and they're like 45 minutes or something like that. I forget which other one we had in there.
Dynasty, skip it.
Well, yeah, and Dynasty's so old now at this point, you've either seen it or you haven't. This one is different. I found it entertaining in spots, but it does drag in spots. And the timing of the release is, they should have done it in spring training.
Yeah.
Why'd they drop it now? Maybe they thought they would get a pop from doing it a week into the season with baseball back, but I think they screwed up the timing. I'm with you on that.
Also, tough look for Casey Affleck, who I believe is an Academy Award winner, and nobody knew who he was.
Yeah,
like, who's that with Matt Damon?
No. And Cora, at one point, he's walking over to the batting cage. They're going to take some hacks before a game.
Yeah.
And Cora's like, who's that? He's an actor?
And then, who's that with Matt Damon is what they're saying. And then even in the dugout, one guy was
the players
Pavetta,
are like,
maybe he's like,
that's,
I think,
Ben Affleck's brother.
Ben Affleck's brother.
Like, rough.
Ouch. I'm like, geez, no Manchester by the Sea people over there?
So let's grade it. If you were going to grade
out
the
of
clubhouse,
what's the scale?
Well, I was thinking letter grade. You want to do a scale?
Oh, grade.
Yeah.
C+.
Oh, that's higher than me even. And I thought I was higher on it than you. I liked it more than you. I was going to give it like a C-. It doesn't mean don't watch it's not great. I'll tell you that.
It's not great.
Where are you at?
I haven't finished it yet, so it could really kick up a notch here in the final 30 minutes.
I'm like C-ish.
Yeah,
I don't even know if I really
want
to finish it.
Yeah. Billy, how many more episodes of it? You're only two in.
Only two in, and it's kind of boring.
Okay.
It is.
You know what I mean? And like you said earlier, it's the biggest story was the Duran stuff, so we heard a lot of that already.
Right.
And like, we know how it ends, so it's kind of tough for me to get through it knowing that it's such a garbage end to the season.
Right. It's not even like you get playoff games at the end. You get September no one cares about.
Like, if they got the Kenley stuff at the end, him quitting on the team, I probably see it out to the end, but they kind of just leave.
Yeah, they just pack their stuff and go.
Kenley literally just left.
Yeah. At least the final episode so far, they're talking more to Joe Castiglione and asking him, like, why
he's
now?
He's in it a lot. Him and Will are in it a ton. Bradfo's annoyed he wasn't in it more, but he's in it. You see him in the background a lot.
Yeah.
Bradfo was sleeping during one of the press conferences. I saw that.
But then it's also weird, too. Like, they try to slip in, like, history of Red Sox stuff.
Yeah,
I'm like, do we need that?
That's a waste of time.
Like, McAdam and Shaughnessy are sort of like, then, like, Aaron Boone. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, right.
Like, I just saw a documentary on that.
Right. That's not what this documentary
should
be.
This is this season,
be.
I thought. Yeah, Yeah, it's odd. They, a lot of stuff that they try to throw together.
If you want to spend 2 minutes at the beginning of the episode being like, the Red Sox didn't win forever and then they won four, under this ownership group, fine. Like, spend 2 minutes on that, but I agree, this is not the documentary.
Oh, also a comment.
Where you need to be mixing in the history of the Red Sox.
Also a comment that maybe Afternoons could ask Cora about next time they talk to him. In, I think it's the last documentary, or last episode, he says, Fenway Park is loud, Yankee Stadium is louder.
I know.
Boy.
I know. He also I think he also called it like old and dirty at one point. He's like, yeah, but it's our ballpark. Look, he's not wrong.
No, it's gross.
I'm just saying, like,
the security guards like, yeah, this place is falling apart. Don't come here.
Yeah, that's
he
true.
So much lipstick on the pig.
Yeah, no. I'm surprised Cora just was willing to say it. That's all. He's definitely not wrong. I'm just surprised he was willing to be like, this place is a dump. I didn't expect that. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. You've been watching The Clubhouse on Netflix. You can give your reviews, your thoughts on it. And we'll get to our Friday four pack of questions right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Hill Notes coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes. Still time to leave a voice note for us on any topic on the Odyssey app. But right now, Boston's biggest Pearl Jam fan is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. And by findmassmoney.gov, it is the front office report for the first time this season with Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. Hey, Craig.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Little off to a kind of a back and forth start here. I understand the season is long, but we were talking earlier about last night, 14 Ks, and I believe this team leads the league when it comes to strikeouts. Is that, Alex Cora has talked a little bit here and there about the weather. It takes a while to get guys going. Is there a concern there on your part?
I'd probably stop short of saying it's a concern. It's certainly something that we're mindful of, and this early in the season, you try to find the right balance of sounding the alarms and also giving a chance for guys to settle in. It's been cold, the weather has been unfavorable, but that's true for both teams that are out there. So, it's definitely something that we're watching and monitoring, and hopefully something that will we can settle into and make sure that we're having good at bats and putting the ball in play regularly.
I mean, a bit of a pitcher's duel last night. But it's not like specifically last night. It's not like it's all kinds of fancy stuff. It's basically fastballs that those guys aren't hitting.
Yeah, no, Gossman did a really good job against us. And, I think as you're thinking about game planning against him, he's got a dominant split. He's been able to throw that for swing and miss for a really long time and been a really successful pitcher in this league. But you're right, it was 14 fastballs that were beating us last night. And, we didn't make the adjustment.
Craig, is baseball, like all other sports, we sit here and we talk about basketball, the evolution of the game. They shoot a lot of three-pointers. Do you feel like baseball, like the evolution of it changes where a lot of these guys, they're swinging for the fences, what leads to more strikeouts where you see, I think David Ortiz even said it, that guys are trying to hit so many home runs that they're either hitting home runs or striking out. Is that kind of like the new baseball with all these strikeouts?
I think it's fair to say that in some ways offensive approaches have changed. That's probably driven by a better understanding of, what drives run production, ultimately how runs are scored. I also think though, it would be unfair to ignore the advances in pitching development. I mean, guys are seeing night in and night out better stuff than they had at any point in the history of this game. So when you put those two things together, it does make for a pretty unfavorable offensive environment. But ultimately, we've got to figure out a way to put the ball in play, consistently have good at-bats, make sure that we're making good swing decisions. And generally, we've been making good swing decisions. We just need to continue to stay the course here.
Craig, there was so much talk about Alex Bregman and his position at third base going into the season. Three errors for him so far. Is there any worry there for him?
No, I think we've seen the range, we've seen the ability to field the ball. The conversion right now is not what I think it will be. Some of the throws that he's you know, he's given some short hops over to first base, and at times he's been bailed out by Tristan Romy, at other times he hasn't. But I think as he settles in, we'll be okay. But he does bring a pretty stabilizing and calming presence to the infield. You know, so longer term, not worried about it, and trust the track record there.
Craig, watching the clubhouse on Netflix, you look so comfortable on that cart getting doused with booze. It looked like it happened all the time to you when you were at college. But we're trying to get our Ken Laird, our leader here, to do the same reenactment. But I just watching Alex and yourself speak with Rafael Devers on that Netflix series after he talked about the talent issues on the team, and then seeing his reaction to Bregman seemed to be two very opposing views by the same person. How hard was it in the build-up to this year to convey to the players that you were invested in the team, even if it appeared on the outside you were not?
Yeah, you know, I think every one of those situations is unique and complicated and difficult because you are trying to balance what is best for any given individual with what is best for the organization. And, you know, I think what we have seen to date is that Rafi is incredibly competitive. He wants to win and he puts winning above everything else. But he's a prideful and emotional guy. And that's exactly what you want out of an elite big leaguer. And, you know, as we sit here today, Rafi is accepted, you know, kind of his role, what is best for the team. He's contributing, and he's been a great teammate. The way that he's interacting in the clubhouse, the way that he's spoken up about what he thinks we're capable of accomplishing this season, it's all been great. You know, and I think everybody is kind of well served by giving these things some time and space and allowing them to play out.
In hindsight, anything you would have done differently, given how the sort of start to the season or start to camp went with Rafi?
You know, I think Rafi and I have had some very, very productive and honest and candid conversations. I would, you know, if anything, try to have more of those. I think they're really important, but that's true of any of the guys on the team. And I'm always willing to share exactly the direction that we're headed and where each guy stands and can contribute there. But I think it's best to keep the conversations between Rafi and me just between the two of us.
Have you watched any of the clubhouse?
I have, actually. I have seen it, and I thought it was really, really well done. You know, I think the audience will appreciate the unprecedented access and the look into what the life of a baseball player or a staff member or front office person is, especially over the course of 162 games. Baseball is so incredibly unique in that way.
No, it was going inside with you guys. Really, episode 6, I think, really focuses a lot on you and your crew over there. And it's really interesting. Trade deadline time. I feel like a little concerned that you might want to lighten the mood a little bit there in the room. Everybody nerding out. The fellas like just waiting on your every word, which I thought was great. And the app, what did you guys develop? It was so interesting to me. You have your own app, how you refer to it nerd-wise, on determining the player value on wins, losses, et cetera. Did you guys develop that yourselves or somebody do that for you?
So the first thing is, you know, what we didn't allow Netflix to capture, of course, was the beer shower in the carts after each trade. You know, and so it was quite a bit lighter than maybe we would have let on. But yeah, aside from that,
free pizza, I'm assuming pizza in the room, you know,
Right. We developed all of these tools internally, you know, and the deadline, you know, is kind of the one moment in the season where all of these things come into focus and, you know, a handful of decisions are magnified. But, you know, I think hopefully what that episode did was show that there are hours and hours of work by so many different people across the office, and oftentimes they don't actually lead to the execution of anything. but nonetheless, we have to go through the exercise of, you know, having incessant conversation and understanding what the landscape is. But to answer your question directly, those tools are developed internally, and we try to understand the impact of every move, both on our short-term kind of postseason odds and playoff picture, but also the longer-term position of the organization.
Craig, watching the documentary, did you feel like it was a fair depiction of how that season played out and everything you guys struggled with?
I did. That was a concern, I think, of a number of players and of me, that if Greg and his group didn't do such a great job of fully integrating and embedding themselves with us, then if you only get these snapshots, then you leave it to the audience to fill in the blanks, then you could get a very different perception of what happened. But I think they were with us enough that it was a fair and accurate depiction, of a season that had promise at certain points, but ultimately was disappointing.
Lucas Giolito got a start in Worcester last night. Is he close to being back here?
Yeah, I think both he and Brian are probably a couple to a few starts away from rejoining us. And, that should give us a boost and give us a little bit more flexibility and depth. But also Fitzy and Newcomb have done a good job of stepping in and giving us a chance to win in each of the games that they've started for us.
Sam Kennedy said Tuesday that ownership has been pushing you to get the future locked up. Are you done, or you got more to do there?
I think the future is bright for the organization. We've got a lot of young talent in the big leagues, and hopefully a lot more young talent on its way. We're always open to creative ideas and avenues to ensuring that the players we believe to be cornerstone members of this organization remain in Red Sox uniforms for a really long time. So I guess the answer is we're never really done.
He also said that they need to get you and Mrs. Breslow a vacation. I know sometimes sometimes you struggle when it comes to declaratively naming the top three, but destinations that are under consideration?
Sure. I appreciated Sam saying those nice things, and this job can be all-consuming, and so trying to find some time to be present as a husband and a dad is difficult. I'm not sure I can name three, but you guys expect that because I haven't been able to round out the list of any question that you've asked me. But my wife and I, we actually honeymooned in South Africa, and wow, that remains probably the top vacation destination. And in my mind, spent an incredible 12 days between Cape Town on safari in Mala Mala, and then in the Seychelles to finish things off with a few days on the beach.
Craig, I know it's busy time for you, but if you and the missus would like to come to Bermuda, the show is going for the Greg Hill Foundation Golf Tournament.
Yes.
Ah, okay. That seems like maybe something we'd be interested in.
Okay.
Hey, Craig, we have Wiggy here who pressures all of us to not take flex time because he's like doing things for Ken. Is there anybody in the Red Sox that looks down on front office workers for taking a couple days?
No.
Oh, good.
I think we all recognize how important it is that people get a chance to refresh. The season is so incredibly long, and the off season isn't actually time off for the front office. So we recognize the importance of the balance there.
All right. Well, hoping to avoid the sweep this afternoon, 4:00 first pitch on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network and on the Odyssey app. And then, are you making the trip to Chicago?
I'm not, actually. So I was with the team in Mexico, Texas, and Baltimore. I actually left after the Monday day game in Baltimore, and we won the last two. So Alex was actually joking with me when we got back home. He said, if my wife Kelly and I wanted to go to the Capitol Grill on him to get out of the stadium, that was probably our best chance of winning games. So I'm going to give the group some time away from me. I don't think they need me breathing down their throats this trip.
Get the prosciutto mozzarella wraps.
That's the Breslow jinx, we call that. Breslow jinx. All right, Craig, thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Have a good morning.
All right. That is Craig Breslow
Wow.
with the Red Sox front office report.
Things change when you add a few pieces to a team.
What do you mean? Alex Cora is buying people dinner at the Cap
Grill? No. I'm just like, they've lost, what, three in a row?
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like, you know what? They got Crochet. They got Bregman. Devers is hitting. And
are you talking on his behalf? Or
no, I'm just saying, like,
behalf?
Fans in general. It's like,
well, it's early.
Yeah, like, I think fans are like bought into that this
it's
team's going to be good.
Season though, right. Reggie. It's like, I mean, I don't know.
But if this was last year at this point,
they're two games out.
I mean, right, but if this was last year at this point in time,
yeah.
Fans would be going bananas.
Oh, I don't. Do you think so?
Yes.
At this point of the season, no.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think so.
I mean.
It's so early.
No, I know. I agree with you. I do. And I've
and
always
been cold.
I've always, but I'm just saying, like, the energy of the Red Sox fans has changed to, even like if they lose this series, like, fans are like, yep, whatever. Because they're still
lost,
a good.
They've lost the series. You mean if they get swept?
Yeah, if they get swept. I'm sorry. Because I think fans have kind of changed their view of this team, and credit to the Red Sox for adding these pieces that we now look and go, we're not worried about that. Let's, you know, we'll really criticize or make our real strong decision opinions on this team after the trade deadline or right around the trade deadline.
You think Craig Breslow would like a rum swizzle in Bermuda? You think he'd be a swizzle guy?
I don't know.
I think he goes crazy on the dance floor after a rum swizzle.
I think he's more of a...
He's a bit looser with us.
Right, but I think he's
almost
more...
Almost too loose.
Than last season.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it's a new team.
Yeah. A bit. I said a bit.
He's terrified to express his top three vacation destinations.
He let us in a little bit about South Africa.
His top three bands. Yeah. What are you talking? Analyzes everything.
Right. Let us in a little bit.
I love it.
South
He's
Africa.
A traveler, not a vacation.
Pricey trip.
He is definitely a traveler, not a vacation.
So, yeah.
Oh yeah,
he's not a vacation.
He's definitely going on. They're
hikes.
Going on hikes.
He goes to the museums and he gets those the old Walkman tours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the audio tour at the museum. Yes. This is Christian from San Diego. Hello, Christian. Hey, Christian. What is Christian doing? I can hear him there.
That's San Diego. Takes a little bit of time for
you. Do you know what San Diego's German for?
Santiago?
Will's nuts. all right. Christian, we'll try to come back.
Is that what Christian. San Diego is?
What?
Will's nuts?
Santiago.
You have to watch some movies.
Yeah.
Really?
Have you never seen?
We've tried.
Have you never seen Anchorman?
I think I have.
I've never seen Anchorman.
Sorry.
She's not kidding.
Just drop
folks.
Out. Drop out of it.
No, we're not. You don't get the dump out. No, you don't.
Hey.
If they were shy, it would be dumped
Wales
out.
It's actually vagina.
Yes. St. Diago.
I was kidding. San Diago is Wales.
But is that just from Anchorman or is that?
Yes.
Is that real?
Yeah. Right.
Courtney's going to be like,
what do you think
well,
it's
if,
short
if you're
going to
say a fun fact,
right.
And it's from a movie that clearly I don't know,
right.
I know what Anchorman is, but I don't to quote it,
right.
Then I don't want to then be at dinner with someone and they bring up San Diego and I say, oh, do you know what San Diego stands for? And I'm out on the joke.
Right. I'm Courtney Cox.
All right. Coming up.
All-timer.
Is it too late? Too late to get Hill Notes on that, or no? Maybe? Real quick? All right. Here's Courtney with What is Trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Celtics were without the top six of their rotation, falling to the Magic 96-76. Peyton Pritchard led with a double-double, 15 points and 10 assists. Luka made his return to Dallas for the first time since the trade to L.A. last night. He dropped 45 and the Lakers 112-97 road win. The Red Sox drop another to the Blue Jays. 2-1 was the final in 11 innings at Fenway. They've got one more with Toronto tonight. 4-10 start with Walker Buehler getting the start opposing Chris Bassett. You can listen to the game right here on EEI. Lenny DiNardo will join Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. You can kick things off with Dan Ball at 3:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Bruins have Chicago in town tonight. Puck drop is at 7, and we also have the Frozen Four tonight. Denver taking on Western Michigan at 5, and Penn State has BU at 8:30. Listen to both of those games on 8:50 a.m. And the Masters kicked off this morning. Things started with the first group teeing off at 7:45. Tee times of note, however, 9:45 for Colin Morikawa. Scottie Scheffler tees off at 10:15. Rory McIlroy at 1:12 and Jon Rahm at 1:34.
Your current leader, Sean?
The current leader is Zach Johnson, 2 under. I can't believe it. I'm kind of stunned.
You know what that means, but Courtney? 60% of the time, it works every time.
That is true.
All right. Yeah. Ready for a round of golf? Cover your greens fees with the money you found at findmassmoney.gov. You could have unclaimed money from forgotten savings accounts, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It is a secure website and takes only 30 seconds to search your name.
And Courtney, don't mind Chime. It's the pleat of the pants.
Okay. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Would you like to come to the pants party? I would like to extend. I'm Brick Tamlin.
San Diego, which of course in German means a whale's vagina.
It does?
1,000. How have you not, like...
San Diego.
It's like one of the most classic movies of all comedy.
It may be the most quotable comedy of the last 20 years.
Yeah, and it's not like... I could see if it was from, like, you know, 1975, but it's, like, such a...
Well, yeah, I mean...
Brick
yeah.
killed the guy.
I'll give it a go today.
Wait, really got out of hand.
Does that mean that San Antonio is Wales Volva?
Oh, good job knowing the female anatomy.
Thank you. I know.
Good job. Good job. Do you know where the vulva is located?
Ooh. The Sweden. Answer to that question is, who cares? Okay. What's next? Oh, we got Curtis with the weather? Yes.
We're all good.
Okay, we'll get Hill Notes next.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We're going to tell you why April is the best month on the sporting calendar. May have a little to do with the Masters here today. That comes your way at high noon. We'll put it on the clock. Give you 60 seconds each on that. Thought on Jaylen Brown coming up about 15 minutes from now. Got the night off, thank God, against the Magic last night in Orlando. But we'll get back to talking Red Sox here with Rob Bradford. Baseball isn't boring, and WEEI. He joins us every Thursday at 11:30 in studio today, Brad Foe.
McFarland, McFarland, my friends. Yeah, yes. I mean, 2 weeks in a row, I get to see your smiling faces.
Very, very, very impressive. He is brought to you, as you heard, by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com, by the E.L. Harvey companies, including Nauset Disposal and Miga Disposal, your local trash collection and recycling providers, and by Aviva Trattoria, Italian-inspired, locally made from fresh, whole, locally sourced ingredients. Bradford, time to panic with the team again?
Well, first of all, where's my crowd? I demand a crowd. Like,
you know,
last week,
he got a
live
pop.
Studio audience.
The man got a pop last week.
Yeah.
He did.
I mean, I demand, people can be like basically saying, yelling, pounding against a glass, yay, yay, baseball. Yes.
I heard a few of those. Yeah.
Yay, Bradford.
I heard a few of those.
People wanted the stickers. People wanted the bracelets.
Oh, they love the
shirts.
I'm huge in Toronto.
People were asking for the shirts after you left.
Yeah.
Keith was wearing them.
Everyone likes a good shirt.
They're like, we want one of those. We're like, Bradford's gone.
They saw the Tyler O'Neill in the shirt. That's why. Yeah.
Yeah.
So your question was
panic time?
Panic in the streets.
No. I mean, it's. Boy, man, I sat down with Bo Bichette yesterday. I said, and the only question I had for him was, besides how much do you bench, which is obviously the logical question, but also, how do you play baseball in this? I can't fathom this, but
you
know
what? How does Bo Bichette play in it? Because the Blue Jays are so good at it and the Red Sox are so terrible at it. Is that what you meant?
That's what I was going to get to. I mean, like, we can't say, oh, it was cold because the Blue Jays were cold. The Blue Jays hit. Mm-hmm. The Blue Jays didn't swing and miss as much as the Red Sox. I heard Craig Breslow today on the Greg Hill Show, and they talked about strikeouts, and he's like, yeah, you know, we'll have to keep your eye on them. Yeah, you'll have to keep an eye on it. Yeah. No, yeah, you will. And I tweeted this out. It is bizarre that they are, like, neck and neck with the Dodgers with everything offensively, 1-2 in strikeouts, yet the Dodgers are the Dodgers. But where it leads me to believe is, and this is where we should keep an eye on this, is the whole driveline thing. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but the whole mentality
approach.
Of hit the ball in the air, right? And so sometimes it works really well. Christian Gamble is a perfect example of this. But when you have this many strikeouts and you have the other opponents not striking out as much against major league pitching, then it is something, as Brezzo said, you have to keep your eye on. So, Yeah, I mean, but come back to your question. It's not panic. There's still as good as this is such a flawed American league. You know, such a flawed American league. Mm-hmm. And Toronto is right there. Like, that's another reminder. You sign a big extension, you get some wins. That's how it works.
Because they did strike out a lot last year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they struck out a lot last year. I was looking this up because I don't remember it being like this. But last year in the regular season, they had the third most strikeouts.
Yeah.
And they would go through stretches where they would hit. They'd go through stretches
where
they didn't.
Well, that's one of the reasons why they also wanted to get Bregman because, well, we need to counter this a little bit. And it does drive me a little bit nuts because you go back to a couple World Series, and when you're in the World Series, you say, oh, look, they're putting the ball in play. Look at that team. They're like, that's how everybody's going to do it. And I think the Red Sox were sort of going down that road. But I can tell you the mentality of the people that they've brought in, and I think Pete Fassie is a really, really good hitting coach, but they brought in a ton of people from Driveline. And the mentality is power, swing hard, swing up, get the ball in the air, all of that. Once again, something to keep your eye on.
Hmm. Well, so I think on three episodes into the clubhouse, you've seen, is it Kyle Boddy? Is that how you say his
Kyle
name?
Kyle Boddy, yeah.
Boddy,
yeah.
You see him a couple of times from Driveline in the clubhouse on Netflix. Cora's been very adamant. I think he was asked directly about this after the game last night. He's very adamant. He wants him to make contact. He hates strikeouts, is what he told WEEI Afternoons yesterday. I mean, is he on board with the Driveline approach?
Yeah, I think so. But it's also, you. To his point, at some point, you can't keep doing it this rate. I know that you're neck and neck with the Dodgers and strikeouts, but you can't keep doing it this rate because the bread and butter of this team is Rafael Devers not swinging and missing, not striking out, Alex Bregman making contact, Tristan Casas making contact, Jarren Duran making contact. You have to have these guys produce, and this comes back to when Devers was struggling so much, guys, is that, well, why is this so important? It's because you have to have those guys that you pay the money to actually hit the ball forward.
That helps. Yeah. That's the plan. Jones brought up the clubhouse. How are the players responding to all of this stuff being out there now? Clearly, Jarren Duran's comments became the most public, but plenty of other players are sharing a very personal side of their lives, stuff that we haven't seen before. So what has the reaction been like inside the clubhouse, knowing that this stuff is now all out there in the public?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I could talk about the clubhouse for an hour because I spend a lot of time. Usually I don't invest in powering through something. So it's good and it's bad, and you know, my overall grade, I give it a C+. I think Red Sox fans will probably give it a B minus because they have access. So the Duran thing, when Alex Cora keeps saying we're saving lives, he's right. Like, that is accurate. Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, even where as a parent, when you hear stuff like that, you want to talk to your kid. I haven't talked to my kid. I have one kid in LA, one kid in Scotland. I'm like, have I talked to them? I shouldn't assume anything. And I think that's a powerful thing. That is a very real thing. Everybody understands that. But outside of Duran, and Duran, we were talking about this, Duran is in it a ton. Not just that episode.
Oh, it's Jarren Duran is what the name of the thing should be.
And independent of, you know, the moment we're talking about where he's contemplating suicide, he comes across sympathetic anyway. He comes across very likable anyway, independent of that episode. But yeah, he's the central figure.
No, there's no question. Yeah. And I think Casas may have been more if he didn't get hurt. And Bayo's a guy, and Boozer's a guy. But to answer your question about the reaction in the clubhouse, I don't think there's been a lot of reaction in the clubhouse, to be perfectly honest.
We haven't had a single call, text, or tweet about it.
No.
Right? Like, we haven't. So, and I was waiting for it because it just came out Monday.
Tuesday?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Tuesday it came out. And so, but all eight episodes are available. Some people like to binge stuff, but it does seem like, and maybe it's the nature of it, but like The Dynasty, which was also not a great documentary, got a lot more attention. There's a lot more sort of like talking points from it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. The biggest talking point is going to be the Jarren Duran. It's not even close. But big items, big picture items, there's not a lot of like talking points, especially for sports radio. I will say this, they missed a few things. Like, I could tell you they missed a few things.
Like what?
Colorado last year, they weren't there for the most momentous day an entire season.
Cal Quantrill?
The Alex Cora extension, Cal Quantrill bench clearing, the players walking down ready to fight the Rockies.
Reese McGuire hasn't even been in this thing.
No.
Follow him to a Dollar General. What do you want him to do?
I don't
want
to do that.
I think the overall
release the tapes.
You'd watch Brad.
Yeah, that was for the job.
But that's another part of this, right? Is that, you know, we're juxtaposing against other ones that this group has done. The Last Chance You, they did Last Chance You, and there's always leaning into controversy. There was always leaning into that. Poor kids. Poor
now all those kids are suing Netflix, right?
Right. Yeah. There's not a lot of leaning into the controversy. There's really quick mentions of controversy.
Well, I was going to say, I haven't finished this series yet, but nobody comes across bad.
That I was saying that to someone.
Yeah.
There are two or three guys that
Cassis,
I think come across the
Cassis
best.
Cassis has a couple of border. Maybe. I'm only three episodes in. Cassis has a few borderline moments.
I think.
Where he's telling a kid he won't sign his autograph.
Well,
and when he the whole dugout ignores him after he gets thrown out stupidly trying to steal third, he's had a couple of moments
but,
where
you're
like,
here's the thing. You have to really think about it and dig into it.
True.
Well, to understand that. Like Brian Bale coming complaining about how Connor Wong is calling two seamers.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
So I haven't gotten there yet.
Thing I saw. I haven't even finished that episode, but I saw that Bayo is losing his mind at Connor Wong.
Bayo was bullcrap at Duran when he butchered that ball against Baltimore. Right. And you see them pass each other in the clubhouse. They don't even look at each other.
But it comes and it goes. This isn't.
And then it jumps to Bayo and his kid and his wife or whatever.
You just hit the nail on the head. And I'm not saying hey, listen, you don't want people to feel bad about it. But they didn't make anyone look really bad.
No.
Jaren Duran's dad did the mea culpa about the parenting situation, which we understand. But there is that which I don't think helps business for Netflix. There is the dynamic I think I was telling you guys about how with these things, you get to 10 o'clock at night and you're ready to go to sleep. Do I have to watch the next one and am I going to stay up or am I going to go to sleep? There isn't that feeling.
No, you'll go to sleep.
I think it lends itself because
maybe
the season.
Maybe even during the episode.
Right. But that's the point. Right? That's the point. Here comes a trade deadline. Well, okay, Danny Jansen. You know,
is it also because they want to be able to do this with other teams going forward, and they can show them hey, nobody came across bad in this.
Yeah, so we didn't screw you.
No,
It is striking how little controversy they leaned into, considering how they said, "Hey, Red Sox didn't have final say in this." Now,
yeah, because that I remember that last year I was talking about that and being like, "Oh, look out!" And
right.
Like,
well, we're using the JUCO, the Last Chance U, as the example of this. But it is now, they didn't let them in certain times. There's one episode in the trade deadline where Craig Breslow takes a call while being interviewed and can we follow you? He's like, no.
And they show that.
Right. They show that.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And then they have the sort of everyone, hey, we got James Paxton. Okay. Pending physical. Yeah. You know, it's like, all right, great.
Did they do the physical?
Yeah.
How do you pass that?
But it's, you know, I think that you raise a good point. Another thing I've been thinking about because you have that strip of the top 10 viewed ones, right?
Yes,
and Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, it ain't on there.
Netflix doesn't release that. Here's our top 100. That's all they do. This is what's being watched the most.
Is that on there? Let's take a look.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I've been checking for two days.
Because when you have the massive amount of publicity, which they have had, including, by the way, MLB getting behind it, then you're like, oh, it's going to pop. It's going to pop there. And it hasn't. Not to say that in some way it won't be successful, but what that lent me to believe and think about was they're not doing this again. They're not. Hard Knocks, they couldn't do it fast enough. The tennis stuff, the golf stuff, all of this, they're doing it again. Mm. And I would love to know if they're going to do it again. I don't know if a team – I know the Phillies, they want the Phillies to do it initially, I think. And they said no. So I don't know. I don't think they're going to do it again.
They picked a tough team. You know, it's a team without stars. It was a team that was 500, so they weren't even the worst, but they weren't a playoff team. They were legitimately 81-81. And, you know,
one expected them to be good. It's not like there was drama in them being way worse than you thought.
Right. Like if you said, we're doing the Dodgers. Than you thought. We're doing the Dodgers this year. They either win and they okay,
listen,
follow
for the for the Red Sox, this was a marketing tool, right? Yeah. That's what it was. And it probably paid off in that respect because. As we said, somebody's going to get ripped here. Somebody's going to come off looking bad. Somebody's going to be the kid in the JUCO kid who walks off the team, right? But there was none of that.
But is the point you're going to end up liking all these guys more? And they keep hammering the point we take for granted these guys are people too. These guys are people too. It's they lose six games in a row. Fenway Park's not going to be like, guys, don't boo them. Don't boo them. They're humans.
But that's the theme, right?
Yeah. They slam that in your face.
It's how hard it is to get through a baseball season. That's the theme. Yeah. And then they get to
play something else.
And we all know, they ran out of money, halfway through the year. They disappeared for a month and a half, just when, coincidentally, when the Red Sox disappeared as well. So they come back at the end, and thankfully, they did an episode on Joe Castiglione. Like, good for you for pivoting.
Yeah.
Because I don't care about, they make it seem like they're in it till the end, but they really aren't. But another example how they didn't lean in the controversy, Kenley Jansen, friend of the program, there was none of that.
Okay, so I was just going to ask about this. Between Jansen and Devers, does it say anything that neither of those guys were even in it?
They didn't want to be in it.
Okay, so what? Yeah. But what does that say about? Does that say anything about specifically Devers, because he's still on the team? Like, does that say anything about him and his resistance to being the star, being the leader? That hesitance. Like, I feel like the fact he wouldn't let himself in. It's not a second language thing. Bayo's all over this. So I don't know. I wonder if that says anything about Devers.
I think it says I don't want to be part of it. I mean, there is people saying, I don't want to be part of it. It's just not my thing. And this is one of the problems with baseball players, to be honest with you, which is baseball players are more reluctant than any sport to show themselves, because it's such a long season. And we've gone through this years upon years upon years. This is the problem with baseball. But to your point about Devers, I just think that he was, and there was other guys, I think, again, Kenley was, I don't think, wanted to be part of it. There's other guys who didn't want to be part of it.
I haven't seen Yoshida much in the first few.
It's sitting down and acclimating himself to it. So it was kind of interesting. There's interesting stuff in it.
Yeah, there is. The Cam Boozer stuff was awesome.
That was
a great moment. But again, it's kind of few and far between. Durant and I think Cora are the two that jump out as these guys are great.
Well, it's kind of like, if you said to me, when this was released, and you had the release to say, we're doing the clubhouse and we're also doing the 04 one, it called the comeback or something? If you told me that the comeback was going to be more interesting than this one, I would have said you're crazy, but it was.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Comeback was great.
But to your point, you're thinking, all right, I know everything between the books and the stories and the whatever.
I read Chasing Steinbrenner. I know everything I need to know about this.
We walk so they could run.
Yes.
But it's sort of like with the Celtic City thing going on right now, right? You have these guys who say, I don't give a flip about whatever. I'm Robert Parrish, and I'm going to tell you why I didn't stick up for Larry Bird.
Are you liking Celtic City?
Oh, my God.
It's great, right?
Yeah, you know why?
Well,
no, not only that, but when you have guys who just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
And these guys who are playing right now, they are still caring about what they say and what they do. But that's why I think Celtic City, and that's why I think the 04 thing was so good, too.
Yes. They were both great.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's... I suspect that a lot of people will give it a B minus. That's where I'm going with it, because for Red Sox fans, it's cool. It's entertaining. I do wonder the two things outside of Boston, what the reaction is going to be, and also what the reaction will be in terms of what they'll do going forward, because that was part of this plan, right? Unprecedented access to a baseball team. First time ever. Okay. you got to get better at, here's the thing. Especially with a trade deadline.
Better access that matters.
You have to get better access. Exactly. Better access that matters. In Hard Knocks, you have the transaction stuff. Even in Behind the B, you have transactions. And we know the hammer.
Florida traded for Marsh.
Right. But remember
Florida traded for Marsh?
Yeah.
You traded Marsh.
Yeah. The Tyler Seguin thing going back,
was great.
I think that Red Sox fans will enjoy it. I think that the Durant thing was impactful and powerful, and that was important. But that's my overall take on it.
All right, Bradfo, good stuff. Check him out. Baseball Isn't Boring. You can check him out on WEEI and the Odyssey app. And, of course, you can see him. He's in some of this clubhouse.
Sure. No, not really.
Some of it.
Not really.
Not as much as you and me.
No.
Me and Jones are in it way more.
No.
Jones Mega Arcan all over that thing.
Sammy from Play Tessie is in it more than I am. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, check out Bradfo there anyway on the Odyssey app. Baseball Isn't Boring. Bradfo, we'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right.
Thanks so
good
much.
Seeing you guys.
Hill Notes coming up in about 20 minutes or so to end the week. This is Derek from Pepperell. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Greg. How are you?
Great. How are you?
awesome. If I was to say Buddy the Elf from your road race, you met John Wooldridge, and he said, hey, you know Derek. Do you remember
yes.
him?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, John, great guy, great guy. Yeah. He listens 7:30 to 8:30, and I called Jackson yesterday, and my suggestion is try to play some Hill Notes earlier in the show for some of the people that would not normally hear it. Mm. It's turning in my mind, to the funniest part of the show. I have the opportunity, because I'm in my office, that I can listen to it, but some people at work, believe it or not, I know you probably won't believe this, cannot listen to the radio during work.
No, so I know that, they could go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app, but I mean, I don't know what would we replace earlier? Like, we don't have the time to replace it earlier.
Yeah. I understand, Derek, but it's very easy to access if you want to grab them. You get it wherever you get your podcast, boom, Hill Notes.
But maybe.
Or maybe in the morning, first thing in the morning, just a couple of notes from yesterday.
Oh.
You know, from... That's what I'm suggesting.
Well, we could make the replay, which airs at 5:40 or whatever that is, Shime.
Yep.
All Hill Notes from the day before. Mm. But that would mean somebody would have to get up earlier, which I don't want to do that to people because they need their beauty rest, like especially this audience.
I'll just throw some crap at the wall here.
Oh, boy.
You know,
cause I'm sure you had this idea months ago. Nobody listened to you.
Maybe I'll throw it out there. Is there a way to do, and I don't know how many Hill Notes, is there a way to do like two Hill Notes throughout the day, like the first?
But I don't know where, we'd have to replace something is what I'm saying.
No, I mean, maybe just drop a few extra ones in early.
But the best part is that people have the entire show to listen to and send it in during it.
Correct.
So if we did
Based
it earlier.
Something that's going on and that they're talking about.
Right, so if you did an early one and a later one, I don't know, it's like a.
All right, we'll take it all into a.
Take it all into
we'll
consideration.
Take it under
You know, that's what a good manager does here. Yeah. But you know, we were talking about this earlier, and I've been critical about Alex Cora, about just him getting more of the blame at times.
Yeah.
And like what we're hearing from him now, because we've been critical about kind of making excuses for these guys playing in the cold weather. And I told you, I heard on the broadcast where they were trying to potentially change the start of the game time.
Well, is that accurate? Or that is the suggestion, is that Alex Cora wanted to change.
He said he asked Sam Kennedy to move them up for the week. And
because of the cold weather.
Yeah.
So
I mean, both teams are playing in the cold weather. Like, what are we doing?
Well, that's why I'd say, like, sometimes when we criticize these guys, we tend to leave Alex Cora off the blame pie.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, part of some of these things could be the potential of, you know, if you're willing to build in excuses for your players.
I have an idea. Not Hill Notes earlier in the day.
Yeah.
Why do the Red Sox train in Fort Myers if they start the season in Boston?
Right.
They should train in Alaska.
Well, I mean,
that way they're ready for the cold. Belichick practices in all seasons.
Yep.
Yeah.
When it was rain, he would wet the balls.
So you're saying they lead the league in K's, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
and double plays.
So you're saying that Alex Cora, by suggesting that they change the start time of the baseball game, is deploying an excuse as opposed to pointing the finger at himself and saying we didn't do a good enough job in Fort Myers when it came to working on hitting the baseball.
Yeah, the K's don't bother me as much. I think it's more about building in that excuse of, well, it's cold, it's cold, it's cold. And then when things maybe go bad, they'll be like, well, we can find an excuse on why it's going bad. I think that the K's are just guys, everybody now is trying to hit the ball out of the park, and they swing for the fences and they swing at bad pitches, and you know, there's not really a lot of patience there. But I would just say it's more of building the excuse in. Like, we get on coaches for giving their teams excuses, and I would say to Cora, like, don't even give them that out. I mean, yeah, I get it's cold for everybody, but when you start to say, you know, man, can we move the game because of this cold weather? It allows you to build in an excuse, which, you know, a lot of people don't give.
Well, I mean, I guess you have some guys on this team who have yet to play in this kind of weather. I you know, it was snowing opening day in Portland, Maine, with the Sea Dogs. It was snowing,
right,
and they played the baseball game. So I.
But this is the perfect thing for fans of baseball, right? When you look at fans of baseball, this would be the perfect time to say, hey, this is why we should eliminate some games. Because then maybe we could start the season May 1st. And in all the cold weather area places, it's not just Boston, but I bet it's, you know, cold in New York. And
you don't want the season to start until May 1st? Like,
well, what's the difference between April 1st and May 1st?
Yeah, the weather's just better.
Probably 30 days.
Yeah, exactly. But the weather's better. I mean,
yeah.
So why is it, like, what's this whole significance of starting it April 1st?
And also, like, if I was planning on going to the games this week, I'd be happy that Alex Cora asked Sam Kennedy to move them earlier.
Well,
it stinks sitting there.
There were not a lot of people there yesterday, and so
right.
But that's the weather. It's
But at least it was sunny yesterday.
It's like they've done it that, like, people go out in the cold and build buildings.
Yeah,
and,
but that's their job.
I mean, Greg,
you always go back to, like, that's their job.
Yeah, I do.
Do you want to go?
I do, because I care about regular people.
So what about all the regular people that want to go to the baseball game and don't want to sit in 25-degree weather? Those are regular people. So it's a way to help out regular people who spend money, who spend a good amount of money, that don't want to sit out there when it's 25 degrees and drizzling, or and it feels like it's 10 degrees. Start the season at the beginning of May, man.
Okay, so, and then are you going to end the season in September? Because it gets cold in October I hate to break it to people. It gets cold in October.
Right, but it's...
Average temperature warmer in April or October?
October.
I bet
it's October.
So. Yeah,
yes.
I would probably agree with Courtney.
Yeah.
You know? But that would be a way to shorten the season and, you know, make the game better for fans that live in these areas where
it's warmer in October.
Yeah. It is.
Yep.
So average by 4 degrees.
Yep.
There you go. So
I have it by 6.
Oh, baby.
I go with Curtis because the weather
guy. He's the weather guy. Yeah, absolutely.
And then if they could do the World Series, you could have Wyclef do a song, Gone Till November.
Right. And how many people complain about baseball just being too long?
This is John from Gardner. Hey, John.
Good morning, good folks. Speaking of the weather, I hope the conditions out here do not portend ill things for my golf season. Gardner Municipal was scheduled to open today. Guess what we got out here?
Snow. It's snow. You have snow.
The pavement isn't covered, but the grass, my tenants' cars are completely covered. So I don't think we're going to have the opening today. Hey, listen, I've had a question about the match for a while, Greg.
Yeah.
Is it true that after arduous negotiations, that now, besides the 6 strokes you give in Chime, you have to compete with a shovel and a rake?
There is no strokes.
No strokes.
And when it comes to the match, I was earlier this morning, my good friend Walter over at Granite Links.
Great guy.
Asked what the official date is, and he is suggesting a Tuesday in May. So, although I will say this, we received a request for a second match. I don't want to get too deep in this, but on the road.
Yes.
On the road being another state.
Wow.
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
You are correct about that, Greg. Quite a ways away, too. Not just, yeah, you know, next neighboring state.
Yeah. But anyway.
Greg and I would have to fly together.
It might not be together, but.
Okay.
on
the same plane, maybe in two different sections of the plane.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. It will be at Granite Links, and it'll be in May. So weather should be fine.
Yeah.
Like, no complaining about
the
weather.
We should feel good in May. And if you have one bad day in May, you can kind of live with that. And now, isn't it really like you brought up April 1st? The season starts at the end of March, so it doesn't even really matter no more. So I would eliminate it and say, hey, we're going to help out these teams. We're going to start the Major League Baseball season the beginning of May.
Here's a text from Maine Wiggy, which says, people sit in the cold and rain all year long to watch Patriots games. Why can't the Red Sox fans do the same? Agree.
Well, because there's not 162 of them.
Bundle yourself up.
And how many sit in the cold weather?
Huh?
Be honest. How many? There's only 8 home games, sometimes 9. How many of those are really in the cold weather?
At least 2 or 3.
Okay, so you could deal with 2 or 3. This year, the the Red Sox, you could say you could potentially have, depending on if you're playing in Baltimore, which is cold, and then you go from Baltimore to St. Louis and then St. Louis to Boston.
So you're going to move the games. Alex Cora wants you to move the games to sunlight. And so then nobody who works can get there and go to a baseball game in April. It seems ridiculous.
But think about how many people went to that game.
What time is opening day?
Okay, that's a special thing, Curtis. It's always like that.
But 4:05?
What's the toughest ticket of the whole season?
Because it's opening day and people take that day off. They're not going to take a random, you know, Wednesday. Like, let's use
this
week.
Would you bring a client to Fenway, not in a suite, last night?
No.
No. Or even a couple nights ago when it was really cold.
Given the way we are with remote work and the way your phone has everything you need on it, if you get a call, you want to go where you can sit and enjoy. Opening day was gorgeous. You are far more likely to have a day like that in May than you are in April. It's not even close.
Yeah.
Like, it would be an offense to a client if it was 32 degrees and drizzling, and you're like, so what do you think about joining us for another year? Where the guy's got, a drenched hot dog before he sits down.
I don't know. It's been done that way forever. It didn't seem to be an issue for Yaz.
Yeah, but does that mean it's right?
How many things have changed, Greg, since Yaz was manning left field?
I didn't see Yaz out there shivering with a full poopy schnizzle.
Poo shiesty.
A poo shiesty.
No, he just had a Marlboro Red in the sixth inning.
I didn't see Yaz with a long underwear on under his Red Sox.
Oh, I bet.
Weren't they all drinking during games, though? Yes. They had a liquor blanket.
I bet he did have
a liquor blanket. They were fine.
Right, they had moonshine. Top of the eighth.
They were full the underneath old school pajama sets. Like, that was the normal thing to wear back then.
All right. Let's get to Courtney with what is trending, and then Hill Notes coming up after that.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Red Sox avoid a sweep. Trevor Story with a walk-off in the 10th to make it a 4-3 win, the final against Toronto. They now turn the page to the White Sox. 7:40 first pitch tonight with Sean Newcomb getting the start. You can listen to the game right here on EEI. Cooper Boardman joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. You can kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:40 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Bruins fell to Chicago 5-2. Morgan Geeky and Pasta had goals in the loss. Frozen Four saw Western Michigan beat Denver 4-3 and BU beat Penn State 3-1. The finals will be tomorrow at 7:30. And Justin Rose led the Masters after the first round at 7-under. Scottie Scheffler right behind him at 4-under. Where are we right now, Shine?
Not many people have teed off yet. Not really a change on the leaderboard just yet. Justin Rose, the leader, parred the first hole.
We're still wet in Georgia?
No, it looks actually pretty nice out. It looks a little misty because of the morning, but I mean, it looks nice overall.
All right. Celtics back in action tonight. They have the Hornets at home. Tip is at 7:30. Jaylen Brown is out for this one. And the 2025 Patriots Hall of Fame class finalists are out. Julian Edelman, Logan Mankins, and Adam Vinatieri get the nod. Fans can now vote until April 30th.
And I got Bryson winning it.
Would love that.
And if I could bet everything I have, Justin Rose will not.
Oh, okay.
Cook, do not fall into the Justin Rose trap.
All right.
And Greg, how do you feel about a dome?
Putting a dome on Fenway?
Could they do that? Yeah.
I hate it.
Why?
Because it would change Fenway.
It's not.
It's still Fenway, but you could do the dome.
Like a retractable?
Yeah. A retractable roof.
There's nothing better than Fenway Park. You walk up the steps and you're greeted by the skyline of the city of Boston. I don't want a dome over Fenway Park.
Can you do a clear one?
My lord, man, does anything matter to you tradition-wise?
I mean, Jesus, are you that much of an old head?
Look who you're talking to.
What buildings do you see from Fenway Park?
Oh, it's really pretty, the skyline.
But you got to be way up there.
No, it's not.
Have you ever walked up the steps and looked? Do you see the Prue, the Hancock?
Yeah.
I mean, I
thought you meant you got to see downtown.
My lord. I've had it with the non-traditionalists.
Yeah, true. That was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. If you want to win free groceries and epic Boston sports and concert prizes, you can enter the Shaw's and Star Market Grand Slam Summer Sweepstakes. Just spend $50 or more and check your receipt for your entry code. It's that easy. Official rules at GrandSlamSummerSweeps.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All right, don't yell at me. I'm just the messenger. 37, cloudy, high 46, raining all weekend. Not going to get out of the 40s.
But, Curtis, north and west of the city, maybe 1 to 3 inches of snow tomorrow?
Yeah, call your airline if you're flying.
No, no thank you.
Okay, don't call.
We don't want it.
Why?
Stop.
They did it back in the day.
It didn't snow. I mean, there was one blizzard in April when I was, you know, in my 20s or whatever, but other than that, like, no. All right, Hill Notes next.
That was Craig Breslow, Greg Hill Show in spring training, and he's right. They're playing entertaining baseball. They're playing winning baseball. They are 3-1 at home despite last night's loss to the Blue Jays. But guess what, Fitzy? It is 2 for Tuesday here on WEEI and WEEI Afternoons. That means if you are caller number 9 right now to the contest line at 617-931-0937, and if you have today's code word, which was given out this morning, 7 o'clock, I believe, on the Greg Hill Show, you'll score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the White Sox on April 20th. Every Tuesday in April and May, you can win a pair of Red Sox tickets, and we'll have another chance to win coming up today in the 3 o'clock hour. So give us a call if you have that code word, 617-931-0937. And everybody wants to see the Red Sox because they're playing fun baseball, entertaining baseball, athletic baseball. They have young players. They have old players. They have a nice collection of varied talent on this roster.
Correct.
Like, if you like old, established players, well, then you're feel free to root on St. Bregman and Devers and Story and some of those guys. If you like unknowns or finding their way kind of young guys, obviously Christian Campbell and Rafaela and Casas, you know, they have a pitching staff. They have veteran pitchers, young pitchers. They kind of have a little bit of something for everyone, Fitzy, right now on this athlete's. Fat guys that hit bombs. Like, they kind of got the whole thing.
They got the big guys. They got the ultra-fit guys. Although, yeah. Side note to the general fitness level of the 2025 Red Sox, going to be tough to keep up with the 2024 Red Sox because I forgot what an absolute shred show, what an absolute Jack Reacher Tyler O'Neill was. My God, that guy's biceps had biceps.
Oh, he was yoked. And if you don't believe us, just ask Bradfoe because he loves to talk about Tyler O'Neill's biceps. He also had 31 home runs, too.
He did, too. Yeah, and was a masher early in the year. He only had 400 at-bats, too. It's a shame. Listen, good luck, and that was a nice bag that he got in Baltimore as well. But obviously, there's a lot of outfielders on this team. The Red Sox do have a great mix of, and this is why, ultimately, I believe this Breslovian experiment as curated by Cora and funded by Henry and Pizzuti Incorporated, copyright 2025, is ultimately going to work because it is a really dynamic mix of veterans, young guys, up-and-comers, established veterans. You've got people that are like should be in their prime. You've got guys ascending to the height of their powers. You got the young stars that are already playing and way above their pay grade. Christian Campbell, obviously I'm talking about you. You got some underperformers that were waiting to break out again. And you've got a farm system chock full of MLB stars of the future. Like, this should, and there's the reinforcements. The cavalry is coming, and it's all right-handed and throws over 95 miles an hour. Like, there's every reason why this should work if this particular Death Star is fully operational.
And we always talk about the clubhouse, and they got a good clubhouse. Clearly, they have a good clubhouse. We were told that in spring training. We were told that last year about the club, and I think they did have a good clubhouse last year. I think they have more talent and still have a good clubhouse this year. But I also don't think they're going to be lacking for anything. You know, sometimes we get too formulaic, I feel like, when we're trying to put teams together. We want veterans who are even-keeled. They don't get too high. They don't get too low. I think that's BS. I think sometimes during a baseball season, you need an emotional guy who gets a little low and maybe throws over a table or gets a little high and brings a little extra buzz and energy. I think they have those guys. But I also think they have probably the Walker Buellers and the Bregmans that are like, All right, settle down, young fella. There's 162 of these. Careful, it's only April 27th. You don't want to, you know,
don't
get out
shoot
the
your shot this too
Correct.
Early into the season.
So
exactly,
I love the makeup, and that was part of the root of my poll today on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at Jumbo Heart, and I said who deserves the most, and I got really creative. I put most in capitals so people would pay attention. The most credit for the Red Sox current success and optimism. And there is a very rich man who's not going to love the results of this poll. John Henry was the first option. The cigar-smoking owner of the Boston Red Sox was the first option. Craig Breslow was the next option. Alex Cora, the next option. And the final option, based off our discussion yesterday and the Cardinals coming to town, Fenway Park, Chaim Bloom, your former head of baseball operations who's running the Cardinals now. So, Fitzy, I know you like to get your guess on, as the kids say. Who you think's leading the poll?
Because I believe his Q rating to be so high amongst teammates, executives, fans, and more, I'm going to give, because I think this credit pie is going to be pretty equally split or evenly split. I'm going to give Cora the win, but not by a ton.
Well, you can't win because it's a tie.
Oh.
Alex Cora and Craig Breslow perfectly tied at 34% of the votes.
El Presidente. How about that?
Followed not too far behind is Chaim Bloom at 25% of the votes. Then if you're a math guy, you're like, wait a minute. Polls only have 100%, and that was a lot of percentages eaten up by those three guys. Yeah, poor John Henry. You spend all that money, you win rings for this city, you do all these things, and also you pay all those people, you hire those people. Only 7% of the voters believe John Henry deserves credit for where the Red Sox are right now. I would go Craig Breslow. I think you have to... He is the one who signed Cora. He is the one who traded for Crochet. Mm-hmm. He is the one that, yes, has taken some of the talent that was left to him by Bloom and utilized it the best way he could, whether it's signing it, extending it, playing it, trading it. Your guy Teal was part of the Crochet deal. I would have voted, if I were voting in my own poll, I absolutely would have voted for Craig Breslow. You don't have to like the way he talks.
You don't vote in your own polls?
No. Are you even allowed to?
Of course you are.
I don't think I am. Because usually when you vote in a poll, it puts a little check mark in the results when you read it. And I don't have a check mark. But I would have voted for Craig Breslow.
Okay.
And
Brez has done a good... He's done a good job. He's more than just... I know Keith had his fun calling him Chaim Bloom with a curveball. I get it.
But now he's Chaim Bloom with a winning team.
Well, they're still just 6-5. Okay,
that's a winning team through 11 games.
And considering they finished last year 81-81, technically he's one game above 500 since taking over as chief baseball operations executive type person.
He's a proven winner.
Proven. Facts only department right. Checking in.
Can't take that away from
him. I also like him, too. You can't hate on him for, like, oh, it's all corporate speak. He sounds like a nerd. He sounds like he works
that's
for
all
Bear
true.
Stearns, not Fenway. This is all true. Yeah, he's very smart. Yeah, he does sound kind of nerdy, but don't hate the player for the cut of his jib or his particular game. Like, he's a smart guy. He's actually perfect for his job, and I think he's doing a great job at it.
Oh, like, I believe they have nailed what you look for in modern baseball. A guy with an actual baseball background who also gets along with the geeks and the quants and the computers and everything they want to do in that sense. You have to blend those two worlds. I know Tito Francona still exists, and there's still old school. Dave Dombrowski still exists, but those guys are going to get aged out here in baseball soon, and I think Craig Breslow is the new modern model that you want to go with. You have to have a blend of the two. Would you want to have a beer with him, Fitzy? Well, forget it. Bad question. You'd want to have a beer with anybody because you'd focus on the beer, not the person.
No, but I imagine I would probably have his kind of beer. It would probably be like, no offense, like a nice Mick Ultra.
Well, what's
like
wrong
that.
With Mick Ultra?
Nothing.
He's keeping in shape. You see the guy? He's svelte. That guy could run a marathon right now.
Listen, forget about the marathon. He may have to come in and get three outs this year.
So I guess my point was, if there was one of these candidates that I'd want to have a beer with, it's Alex Cora. We talk to him every Wednesday.
Oh, 100%.
Playful baseball guy, regular dude. Let's have a beer. I don't need to want to have a beer with Craig Breslow for him to be good at his job and for me to praise him for the job he's done. We did get a negative texter. What success are you talking about? They are a team that if you're paying attention, they're talented. They're going to win baseball games. They are projected. Athletic had their first power rankings of the season. I want to say they were seventh.
I guess, the seventh best team in the power rankings. They're considered a top-end baseball team right now. He put together a good baseball team.
They're a team on the rise. Everybody, MLB.com, other teams will tell you. The Yankees were pissed. They said they were mad at, like, Cora and Breslow and Henry this offseason because they thought they had a great offseason. And there is a general consensus now, I believe, around baseball that the Red Sox are back.
Yeah.
They're not smashing and dashing their way to 108 wins just yet, but the Red Sox are back in the mix. They're not going anywhere anytime soon with the contracts with Bayo and Christian Campbell and Rafaela and now Crochet and Meyer coming up and Anthony coming up and the first world Fenway problems of what do you do with Abreu and Duran. Andy, the Red Sox are here and they're here to compete for a long time to come. Everyone else hates to see it. We love it.
And by the way, Texter, I put success / optimism. I understand it's early, but if you don't see and feel the optimism that Fitzy's talking about, then, well, I don't know. I can't help you.
Sorry about that.
617-779-7937. Thoughts on the Boston Red Sox? Who deserves the credit for where they are right now? Yes, that's just 6-5. I'd also say 5-1 in their last six games played, if you want to parse the season up a little bit.
Didn't get off
to a great start, but of late, 3-1 at home. They didn't win a lot of games at home last year, so things are trending in the right direction. Who do you credit for that? Breslow, Cora, John Henry, Heim Bloom, if you want. But up next, we're going to talk about the documentary of last year's team. And when you want an expert review, do you go to the Dork podcast? Well, sometimes. They have good reviews of a lot of movies. If it's a baseball documentary, you go to a guy on WEEI Afternoons who went to frickin' film school. So Fitzy's review, episode 1, The Clubhouse, Netflix, The Red Sox, up next here on WEEI Afternoons.